If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is April 16th, 2025. It is The Hump, and it's WrestleMania week, and it's a big one. Jimmy, we got really, really kicked off with WrestleMania week last night. Do you know what the first event in Las Vegas was?
The first event in Las Vegas. I mean, I know we got an email from the Crazy Horse, but otherwise I'm not sure.
Listen, your boy got an email from the Crazy Horse. That is one booking I wish I could have accepted. Unfortunately, I'm not there. Our boy Joel is. He's at Circa Las Vegas, Circa Mania. I want to thank them for taking care of us, the official hotel of Fightful this week. Go there, check out their events. Chris Van Vliet, Busted Open will be there. But Micro Wrestling Federation last night kicked off the festivities for a Tuesday night show. It's the Little Person Wrestling.
Got it.
Which
got it.
Draws okay. A crazy crowd.
Yeah.
Like two miles from
the 80s, right?
2 miles from my house, Jimmy. They sell out nonstop. Kate told a story last night about how her friends mentioned going, and she's like, yeah, that might be fun to go to. And they're like, yeah, well, it's sold out. So
wow, good for them. You remember like, you know, Little Haiti and Little Beaver, or Haiti Kid, I think it was, and Little Beaver. And this day and age, you know, you just don't see it on a national level, but it doesn't surprise me that it's still popular.
Occasionally you'll see like a TV show pop up and all that stuff. But we've got so much to talk about, guys. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are here to talk about what you guys want to talk about. Leave a thumbs up on this video. I'll plug some stuff as we go along, but I just want to say thank you. We've had so many new subscribers. A couple months ago, I took more of a hand in marketing and advertising a lot of our stuff, and you guys have shown up. It's been our biggest subscription period since probably the first time I appeared on Wrestle Talk. We got a lot then when people overseas were like, "Oi, mate, look at this fella. Funny, isn't it?" All that stuff. And they realized I was so funny and did great impersonations, Jimmy. But this week we had you and I talking about LJN prototypes. Yes, we know that the mic was on the table. I did encourage Jimmy to stop slamming things on the table after a while. We will have this week and probably next week off of those. We'll have a little couple week break, and we got 3 more episodes of these. But if you all missed it, me and Jimmy also looked at the first wrestling figures and maybe some of the first wrestling cards ever, the Japanese Poppy figures. And we also have a new video, Sonny Siaki, how he sacrificed his wrestling career to save his brother's life. Check that out as well. We're going to be doing more clips of these shows, including a topic that I think will be a pretty big one today, Jimmy, because there's plenty to get into. There's Nick Khan and the AEW comments. There's Tetsuya Naito leaving New Japan. There's an awful lot here, but how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I was telling you off the air, it's WrestleMania week, and for me as a fan, the build has been so lackluster that there's not a lot about WrestleMania that I'm really excited about. But here we are. And like I said last week, when you go into a show with low expectations, it usually turns out to be a really good show.
So yeah,
that's the one benefit.
I think the card as constructed is going to be one of those where people will go in with low expectations. The build is not great for a lot of this. Quite frankly, I think there's a lot of matches where I believe that they would have been better off as one-on-one matches or singles matches. I did a show with Denise yesterday, and I looked at it and I'm like, I love Seth Rollins, and I think he's done an incredible job. He's done a better job building this triple threat match than anybody has, because he's there all the time and all that. Reigns and Punk on its own could have done really well. Seth Rollins is good enough to do whatever he wants. Bianca and Rhea, they're good enough on their own. I think WrestleMania main event caliber, but they've at least made that part of the story with Io. I look at Penta and Braun Breaker. That could have been a one-on-one match. Mm-hmm. That's what leads me to believe that Dom or Finn are leaving with those titles. Mm-hmm. A reminder, guys, if you all feel confident about your picks, BetOnline.ag allows you to make those picks. Now, we only want you to bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But go over to BetOnline.ag. We discussed a lot of prop bets that could be happening as well. You can go there, compare their competitors. They're trusted by millions. They got a VIP rewards program, payouts in minutes in a safe and secure environment. You can bet on the NBA, NCAA, UFC, WNBA. They just had their draft yesterday. I am very excited with how the Indiana Fever did with only second round draft picks. But check out BetOnline.ag. If you see odds on our website, on my social media, well before we had a partnership with them, they were who we used for betting odds. So check that out. We are now 25 for 25 in our lock picks. I don't know if we'll have any this week. They're doing a good job of, even though the build hasn't been that great, keeping you guessing as to who's going to win. But BetOnline has some nice odds. Just Mask says, Mania build has been cheeks. Feel the show itself will deliver. Lots of good talent on the card that will make it happen. That's what I was getting at before the read, Jimmy. This show is constructed as one to where in the ring, it's going to be really good, I believe.
Yeah, potentially. And I want to go over the card and I want to get your quick predictions. And then I have a couple of questions to ask you along the way. So let's start with Saturday, because they've announced the tentative lineups and, of course, you know, subject to change, as they say. But let's talk about it. So Saturday, the main event's going to be Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, CM Punk. Who you got in that one?
So it's interesting because the BetOnline odds have shifted over the last day. And now CM Punk and Seth Rollins are both at negative odds, which is a good thing for the betting, but they're even with each other.
Interesting.
I'm thinking Seth Rollins might win it. I think we do lead to a CM Punk Roman Reigns match later this year, and I think it should be for top contendership. I think Punk should win, and we should lead to Punk maybe dethroning Cena again. I think that'd be kind of a cool story, but I'm gonna go with Seth Rollins now. I think it's Seth or Punk. I don't think Roman needs to win this.
And do you think that it's a triple threat so that Roman can lose without getting pinned?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Because I think so too. Okay. Women's title. Now, I want to say something about this one. So this is Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair. I saw Seth Rollins on a podcast talking about how the promo on SmackDown last week was a good thing. He said it added to the story. He said, we wouldn't be talking about this match if it wasn't for that promo. He said, John Cena told him years ago, when you're in the ring, say whatever you want, but you have to have thick skin. My question for you is, what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously Tiffany said things Charlotte wasn't expecting. But what are your thoughts on the idea of say whatever you want, but you have to have thick skin?
Yes. I agree with that. As long as I do think you should approach somebody if you're going to talk about divorce and stuff like that. I would have had this, and I posted a tweet about this. This should have been the story all along, Jimmy. And what I mean is there is already a perception of Charlotte online. People have made up their mind. She was never going to be the baby face in this, no matter what she or anybody else thought. I would have had that side-by-side promo where Charlotte just ran right over Tiffany straight up from the get-go. And then I would have had Bayley approach Tiffany Stratton and say, you gained my respect in our match. I don't like you, but I respect you. So I'm going to give you some advice. Don't let this woman walk all over you like she did everybody else. This is why everybody struggles against her early in their career, is because she walks all over them. Stand up for yourself. Don't let her do that to you, or you'll be just like Rhea Ripley was in her first WrestleMania and lose to her. And point out these examples that gives Tiffany some confidence. And then she does the promo that we saw, and it makes a lot more sense. And it solidifies Tiffany really as a baby face, as opposed to she's the least unlikable one in the ring. You know what I mean?
And who do you got winning this one?
BetOnline AG has Charlotte as a slight favorite. I have Tiffany Stratton winning this.
I agree with you. I understand that Charlotte is kind of like, you know, one of Hunter's favorites, and everybody thinks she's going to break Ric Flair's record. But Cena's going to break Ric Flair's record first. And so I agree with you. I think Tiffany's going to win. All right, this next one. This one for me is one of the matches. There's three matches on the show that I'm anticipating more than any other. This is one of them. The reason I'm anticipating match is because I think this is going to be a coming out party. I know you think otherwise. U.S. title, LA Knight, Jacob Fatu. I think they could just put a rocket ship on Jacob Fatu. But you told me that you think that Solo is going to cost him. So who you got, LA Knight, Jacob Fatu?
I do think that Solo is going to cost Jacob Fatu. I'll tell you why I like this, and I mentioned this on Denise's show as well. Night one, you kick off, Jey Uso, yeet.
Yep.
Night two, it's LA Knight in a similar fashion kicking off, winning as a result of Solo Sikoa. Everybody. Yeah.
They're on Saturday so far. Are they
on Saturday?
Yes, they're advertised for Saturday right now. Yeah.
Well, I'm stupid. So I think that being said, I think that there's a really good chance that Jacob Fatu wins. Because that's a tough one.
Sunday is supposed to be the women's three-way to start, I believe.
You're right.
Yeah.
See, that's a lot tougher. I would have thought that they would have went Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, and then LA Knight winning. But this gives me more reason to believe that Jacob Fatu, the BetOnline favorite, is going to win that. I'm changing my answer.
I think Fatu is going to win, and I think keep him hot. I mean, look at the reaction he gets as a heel, right? Keep him hot. Okay, next up, Jade Cargill, Naomi. I think Jade's got to win. Now, I want to say one thing before I get your prediction. I've noticed since Jade's come back, with the exception of her return on Elimination Chamber, she's not getting the greatest crowd reaction. What do you think she needs to do in order to get the people with her? Because I feel like they're not with her right now.
I don't know if there's much she can do. She's going to get, I think, the Mania crowd there, but Naomi's done such incredible work that it's in that unusual situation. Jade Cargill is a massive favorite at BetOnline. I want Naomi to win, though. Like, it's not going to hurt Jade to lose once in a while. Like, if she can't afford to lose and stay over, what's she doing there? And I'm not saying it's like a her thing. It's not up to her. But, like, it needs to be Naomi. As far as what can she do, I don't know. She's got that presence. She's got not the superstar look, the superhero look. Yeah. Woman looks like superheroes are designed after her.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tough because so many people like and respect Naomi. And how often do you see somebody 12, 13 years into their career get a defining singles run that really is like the run of their career? I don't know if there's anything she can do now. I think that right now, a lot of people are kind of riding that Naomi wave. But it's hard to cheer for somebody that looks like a superhero, and you can't sympathize with them too well. I think they tried with the attack, but it's hard for the average person to connect with that. Then again, you've got Cena and the like that have made it work in the past, but even he was polarizing.
I think part of the problem might be that the crowd now is so internet savvy, and there's been internet rumor about Jade. And I think that doesn't help her either. So I think the combination of the internet rumor about Jade and the fact she's facing Naomi, who is this 10 plus year veteran, I think that combination makes it challenging for Jade, but we'll see where that one goes. Okay. Here's a match. I'm going to be frank, as a wrestling fan, I couldn't give two shits about this match, Sean. World Tag Team titles, the War Raiders and the New Day. We just saw it on Raw. I know that it didn't have a definitive finish, but we saw it on Raw. I think New Day's winning, but I do not really care about this match. They're giving me no reason to care about this match. Your thoughts?
BetOnline has New Day as the favorite. I've got New Day winning. Jimmy, it is criminal how poorly they have cared for this division, among others. Jimmy, I laid out a perfectly fine 4-week plan for Tiffany and Charlotte just a few moments ago. Do you remember what they said about Big E when they turned on him? Mm-hmm. Made fun of his neck and all that stuff. Who are they facing this weekend?
You're right.
Two gentlemen who had career-threatening neck injuries. Why is that not the crux of this feud? Mm-hmm. Why are we not seeing the human element of the War Raiders here? I talk to Ivar for media all the time. He is such a lovely dude. Mm-hmm. And I know people will be like, oh, well, you don't want to humanize the War Raiders. Yes, you do.
Well, they are now.
They're baby
They face. Are now. Yes. No, but they're wearing regular gear now. Like
I
like
know. They're baby faces. They're lovely guys that can just kick the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. You want to be able to identify with these people. I'm so frustrated.
Yeah, I'm with you on the New Day. Like, how many times have we talked about a story that peaked when it started? And for me, the New Day's heel promo was the peak of the New Day on this run for me. So so we need to see something with this one. Now,
I want to read this real quick. Sure. Mr. Straightfire says, I think Seth pins Roman. Keep Punk strong for a title match adds to Seth being the one that Roman can't beat. I think Roman beats him 1v1 later. Also, it's the 10th anniversary of Heist of the Century. Oh, that's a nice reminder. And I mean, that should have been something that Roman said as well. Roman should be like, you only seem to get into main events when I'm involved. Like, you only shoehorn your way in when I'm around. So Roman should be leaning into that, saying, I'm still your meal ticket. 10 years after the Shield, I'm still your meal ticket. Like, play into that. I'm just like, so much was left on the table with this WrestleMania build.
I agree. I wonder if Punk pins Roman and Paul Heyman is somehow involved in the finish.
Yeah,
that could happen too. Okay, here's one of the matches I'm looking forward to. And I know a lot of people are comparing it, even though they shouldn't. They're comparing it to Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio. El Grande Americano, Chad Gable, Rey Mysterio. I think Chad Gable feels like he's got something to prove. This is maybe the biggest match of his career. I'm looking forward to this match. Who you got, El Grande Americano and Rey Mysterio?
Bet Online had Rey Mysterio favored to win. I'm going with El Grande Americano.
I am too. And I think Chad is out to steal the show. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, I've always liked him. I've always put him over. And last but not least, I think we all know Gunther Jey Uso. Jay's going to win. Good luck to him as champion. He's going to win. What do you think?
Jey Uso is heavily favored on Bet Online. I've got him winning as well. But I think that as a result of one of the other matches we're talking about later, I think he'll have a pretty interesting feud right out of the gate, even though it's one that we've already seen before. And you know what? I think Jimmy helps him win. And I think that one of the first title matches is Jimmy versus Jay, and they try to rectify that horrible match that they had at WrestleMania last year by doing it like on Raw or a Saturday night's main event or something like that. Mike says, am I wrong for feeling Jey Uso winning the world title without interacting with Roman is bad storytelling and done a disservice to the entire Bloodline saga? He should interact with Roman. He should on Friday or backstage or something. There should be some interaction between those two. And Roman should be like, go ahead and do it, Uso. One of those, like something. Again, it is the laziness of the build.
Maybe really they'll do it after he wins. Maybe after he wins, they'll show him with the belt backstage and he runs into Roman. Maybe it'll be something as subtle as that. But I guess we'll see. Okay, let's go to Sunday. WWE title, Cody Rhodes, John Cena. I think everybody's expecting Cena, but what do you think?
Bet Online has Cena winning. I have Cena winning. I think it is summer of Cena. Hopefully he's actually on the damn shows. Hopefully he's actually wrestling, because I don't want to see, there's no point if he just goes away for 3 months. And then you know, Triple H will do some interview and say, well, it's heat that he's not there. Get out. Come on. Give me.
Do you think we see... So I think Hunter's already said that Travis Scott's going to be at WrestleMania. Do you think we see Rock? Because there's been no mention of Rock whatsoever.
We should. Otherwise, it's even more frustrating, Jimmy. Frustrating that they insult our intelligence. As Shotgun Sean says, will he show up? Does he cost Cody? I think he does cost Cody, but it'd be frustrating if they insult our intelligence as if, you know, they had this big master plan for 6-7 months to do this. And okay, well, you couldn't have planned to be at a couple of the shows en route to WrestleMania to promote this show that you're on the board for. Like,
Right.
I had people burying me when me and Dave reported in the fall that The Rock wasn't wrestling on WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. People buried Dave. Even people in the company were like, too early to tell. The Rock will do what he wants. I think in November, I followed up with my people. After Bad Blood, I followed up with my people, and they said, he ain't wrestling on that show. Is Go Home Math as reliable as it used to be? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they've tapered it off quite a bit, for sure. And Jay Stone says, is it me or did the Bloodline story just disappear without an ending? It did kind of disappear. All the branches of the Bloodline tree that went elsewhere, Sammy's been out of action. KO's out of action. Drew McIntyre has moved on to do what he does. CM Punk is still contingent and involved. So is Rollins. But Cody moved on, even though he's still associated with The Rock in some capacity. Jimmy's hardly on TV anymore. I think the way to finish it out is the Solo and Jacob Fatu thing, and then you wrap it up for a while.
It feels to me like they wrapped it up after Roman beat Solo. Like, it feels to me that was kind of the bow on it. But you remember when they did the thing where Cody and Roman met in the middle of the football field, and Roman and Cody were going to be tag team partners, and then Roman said, you know, I'm coming for that belt kind of thing. And they never followed up on that at all. Like, they did the tag match, and that was about it. So, okay, so that's that one. Women's world title, Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea. I think Io's got to win. She's been the afterthought in storyline. She's got to win.
I'm leaning towards Io, but also Bianca has never been pinned in 6 WrestleMania matches. Now, arguably, they can continue that streak and just say, okay, well, she's never been pinned at WrestleMania. Right now, BetOnline has Bianca as the favorite. I'm going to lean into Bianca. Io Sky is second favorite. Rhea Ripley is third. I think Rhea Ripley does not need that championship for quite a while. But common sense would say that Io wins, and then Bianca and Rhea can just go do their own thing. Maybe they can headline Evolution. I think that'd be kind of cool. I'm going to go with Io. I feel like you got to balance the story versus undefeated at WrestleMania. So I would have Io pin Rhea, and then they can continue to say Bianca Belair has never been pinned at WrestleMania, as opposed to the streak.
The streak. Okay, interesting. Intercontinental title, Bron Breakker, Penta, Finn Balor, Dom. I think Dom's going to win. I don't know why. I think Dominic Mysterio is going to win. What are your thoughts? I don't know why. I just feel like he's going to win.
Well, BetOnline thinks he's going to win too. He's the favorite. Really? Yes. Penta is second. Bron Breakker third. Finn Balor fourth. Here's my approach. Bron Breakker, I think, is going to not get pinned and probably move up and probably feud with Jey Uso or somebody like that. It's world title picture time for this man, whatever brand it's on. And it's probably going to be against a babyface. I feel like Dominic or Braun versus Penta could have been a singles match and people would have loved it. However, I see the turn of Dominic coming soon.
Really?
I think the audience, while they love to hate Dominic, they're going to love Dominic. They have watched him go from a literal child to a nepotism hire to a guy who was just fun to watch on TV. He's charming. He's very funny. He is a completely fine wrestler now. Like, he's very self-aware. I think we could get into a situation where he legitimately has almost won this match. Like, he's going to beat Penta, and then Finn screws him out of it or takes advantage of it. And Dominic pretends like he's okay with it, but Finn just is really obnoxious about it in the coming weeks. Then we get the turn and we get the Dominic Finn feud out of this. I'm going to go with Finn, but I think this is a point where everybody wins. Bron Breakker is going to go for the world title soon. I think Penta can move on and do stuff with his brother or continue a bigger feud. And I think Dom and Finn is the right way to go and split up Judgment Day, get rid of them.
Interesting. I could see maybe Dom wins because he pins Finn Balor, or Finn wins because he pins Dominic, because that would lead to their story. So we'll see where that goes. Sin City Street Fight, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre. I think Drew's got to win.
Our dude, Dave Cost, who I just accidentally got rid of. rid of his super chat. He says, I keep going back to Priest and Drew as the most traditional, linear, and effective wrestling build. I expect them to go third on the card, have a chip on their shoulders, and go all out. Drew McIntyre is one of the biggest favorites at BetOnline AG. I'm going with him, Jimmy. And one of the reasons I'm going with him is because, like, Damian Priest has beat him like three times in the last year. And I feel like they've done a good enough job telling this story that you kind of forget about that. You sometimes forget that Damian cashed in on Drew last year and then beat him in a triple threat match as well. And I think that they've done a really good job, but most importantly, I think they might have one of the best matches all weekend because these two guys do things that people 6'3 and 6'4 should not be able to do, much less ones in their late 30s to early 40s. Mm-hmm. And they heard a lot of people go, oh, really? Them after the Royal Rumble? Yeah, them. They're going to go out and kill it. Two guys that held the world title in the last year were involved in some of the most important things, constantly over-deliver, are glue to this show. Dave, I am with you completely with your super chat. And I think that Drew's going to win this, and I'm really looking forward to this. These two guys have been killer. They've been incredible.
And don't forget the street fight element. So
yes,
you know, so there's a lot they can do.
What one of the props that I sent to BetOnline AG is like, you all should do this. Will glass be used during this match because of the way that the story has played out? Like, there's lots of cool stuff we have coming that way, but yeah.
There's a couple more. So Liv Morgan, Raquel, Bailey, Lyra. It's got to be Liv and Raquel. I mean, Liv just got pinned on SmackDown in the singles match, so it's going to be Liv and Raquel.
Liv and Raquel are my pick. BetOnline AG doesn't have the odds for them yet. Liv should have been involved in something more substantial. She should have gotten an IC title match or something, as opposed to being tag team titles, if they were going to develop this division so poorly. I feel really bad for anybody that had any hope for the IC and US title. It makes for a decent match on TV every once in a while, but it has been just absent of any meaningful booking. WWE has done two top contendership matches for the IC title, Jimmy, and then the losers of those matches won no singles matches since losing it and got title matches afterwards. Great matches, but you script the show. You book it. Dave Koss says, I share your opinion on champs going for other titles. Frustrating. I want to give Lyra her flowers. She's getting over in the ring. Lyra's fantastic. I want to make that abundantly clear. When I complain about the booking, I am never complaining about the performer itself. Mm-hmm. Lyra Valkyra is incredible. I love that she has embraced her entrance. She does that. The crowd goes, woo, the bird call and all that stuff. It's great for her entrance. Bailey is phenomenal. I think Bailey is one of the greatest women's performers they've ever had. Liv Morgan held that division down while Rhea and Becky were gone. And then they were just thrown into this. They buried the entire tag team division on Friday, had them run the gauntlet, which, you know, is okay here and there. But what are these other women doing now?
Yeah. And who gets some of the best live reactions at the PLEs? Chelsea Green does.
Yeah.
Where the hell is Chelsea Green? Two nights of WrestleMania.
Well, your boy reported on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 in the business, that as of last week, Chelsea Green was not planned for this show. Not only that, the women's tag gauntlet that I just mentioned had time got cut from it.
Yes, right.
FightfulSelect.com. Again, we have a free tier if you all want to check that out. But what I think they'll do is they'll probably add Chelsea Green in a segment or something, and then Triple H will come out and say, the internet doesn't know anything, and they'll say, oh, dirt sheets don't know. And then I'll find out immediately, oh, yeah, we added that late. So,
and why do you think – I'm sorry, I was going to say, why do you think they're still not doing the Battle Royals on the pre-show so that everybody gets their WrestleMania moment?
So I'm torn on that. Because I think they should. Men's one night, women's the other night.
Yep.
Put it on the pre-show. There you go. I also agree with the sentiment that has led to, and you just masses, why don't women IC get a four-way? That's one that should have got a four-way. Do qualifiers and do a four-way as opposed to anything else. Men's Intercontinental didn't need to be a four-way. But I do feel like if you give everybody these matches, and Shawn Michaels talked about it, we got a lot of people that work really hard and we want to get them all on there, then what good are the moments if everybody gets it. You know what I mean? There's got to be special moments for special performers and special booking. Yeah. And Dave Koss says, mind-blowing that Cena nor Rock didn't submit any social media promos, especially with how productive Rock was last year with them and how Via Satellite was a big part of Rock Cena 13 years ago. I swear to God, Jimmy, if they don't have – it's right there. John Cena can film interviews backstage while he's there and air them the next week and say, yeah, you don't really deserve to see me after the way that you've treated me. I don't know, man.
Two more, Styles, Logan Paul. They really like Logan Paul, so I can't help but think that they're going to go with him, but Styles, I think, needs the win.
I think Logan Paul is going to win this, and I think that it will be the best in-ring match of AJ Styles' WrestleMania career. And if you think back, there aren't a lot of good ones. Shane McMahon's probably the best. The Boneyard match was incredible, but not in-ring. I think this will be his best WrestleMania match. Plus, listen, Shane Helms is going to be producing that, and he is meticulous about the Logan Paul stuff.
And last but not least, Randy Orton. So they're teasing Nick Aldis a little bit. What are you thinking about Randy Orton?
I want it to be Nick Aldis. They had him at BetOnline AG as the favorite. I would also like for it to be Rusev, and he can come in, break Randy's back immediately, his surgically repaired back with the accolade, Jimmy. Then you set up the feud. I would mind it if he's healthy. Sami Zayn, who can say, you know what? I know that me and Kevin just went through some terrible stuff. I know that he said he's been hurt for a long time, but I know the reality of it. He hasn't wrestled since our match. I feel guilty about it because he's a good guy, right? He's such a good dude. And he's trying to immediately help out this abusive relationship that he's clearly in. But I think it's probably going to be Solo Sikoa and everybody's going to go, aw.
Hunter's got to be more aware than that. He's got to be. Nobody wants to see Solo Sikoa, with all due respect to him, as the guy to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Hunter's got to know this. And then another question for you. So there's always surprises at WrestleMania, usually.
And we've got a super chat, humper chat. Any major surprises, SmackDown, Mania, Raw?
What do you think? Yeah, are there any that you're predicting?
Malakai Black, Aleister Black, Rusev, Becky Lynch are the three big ones. And if I were them, I'd probably do one Mania, one Raw after Mania, one SmackDown after Mania, and really set the tone. You need to be watching our shows. And then you can pepper in some other stuff too. But those are the ones that I look at. And I am going to answer this monster super chat momentarily about Becky Lynch. Thank you, Jan Volker. Says, she said on the Ultimate Improv show, I'm not wrestling anymore, maybe one day, but I'm not right now. Do you think it's a swerve? Yes. I mean, to some degree, like imminently, I don't know. There was creative pitched to for her in January. It didn't end up happening. I don't know exactly what the creative is, but I know it was not like a one-on-one match. I don't know if it was like three-way, four-way, tag team, whatever that might be. But Jan, sorry about that. FightfulSelect.com reported a few months ago, she's signed and she's been signed. She's been under contract for months, like at least four or five that I know of. But she hasn't been like brought to TV to do anything or anything like that. She's very smart, though. She knows what creates buzz, but she also doesn't want lazy booking. I don't think that she wants it. I think she wants something inspired, and I can't blame her, Jimmy.
Thing I don't understand is WWE doesn't sign people to bench them. So because of that,
we'll be talking about that, buddy.
That's why I said it. Yeah.
Oh, give me some time. Sir Brendo says Pump for Mania going to be in the Fightful Discord. Well, listen, FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have extra post shows, preview shows. I'm doing two additional Q&As. I'm going to do a live on Saturday and Sunday because that's the benefit of me being here as opposed to being in Las Vegas. But if you want more predictions, Stephanie Chase, Rob Wilkins, bringing you a live show on Thursday, but my God, we're gonna clip this as well and put this on our main channel.
I got one more WrestleMania question for you. So you know, back in the day, Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat, everybody said they stole the show, but Hogan and Andre sold the show, right?
Yep.
This one, you could probably argue Cody and Cena sold the show. Maybe Roman Rollins, Punk sold the show. What match on these two nights do you think is going to steal the show?
I think Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre from an in-ring perspective. I think they're going to really go all out for that.
Okay. Okay. And that's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick.
Yeah, I think so as well. I'll tell you what's also not a bad pick. Our wonderful partners at NordVPN. If you've got NordVPN and you want to watch WrestleMania this weekend, you don't need Peacock. You can just get NordVPN, use your Netflix subscription. Let me tell you all about it.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc., and you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to...
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com.
I'm nuking that ad. That's an old ad. I mentioned the old WWE Network. You know what? Now you can just get on Netflix with it. NordVPN is fantastic. I love when we have our audience that says, you know what, Sean, you talked to me. You said, I'm canceling my YouTube TV, which I did, because now I it's not basketball, college basketball season. It's not football season. Nothing like that. So all I need it for is wrestling. So I use my Netflix account. Netflix does not care if you're using a VPN. They're like, whatever. Just go for it. They just want your subscription. NordVPN.com/Fightful for two years and I think 3 months is less than 1 month of YouTube TV, which is just fantastic. Just fantastic. We got a bunch of super chats and humper chats to get to before like the big topic that we're going to talk about. Joseph Morris wants Molly Holly producing Liv's matches from now on. Usually it's TJ Wilson or Petey Williams. Usually. Terry Allen Jr. says the Lex and Sting friendship is special. Imagine the wonderful sight at Hall of Fame, crying in happiness. I hope so. I hope this is a bit of a swerve and Sting also inducts Luger or something like that. But I can see them also giving a shout out to Sting. I hope it's not a wish you could be up here with me, buddy, type of thing.
I bet you it will be.
I bet you will be, especially considering what we're talking about this week.
Yep. Yep. I mean, DDP, you know what? DDP is a saint. I can't say enough good things about DDP. I saw him in a video recently say that he feels like what he's doing now is going to supersede his wrestling career in terms of his legacy. And I agree.
I would say it has.
I agree. The guy is a saint. What he's done for guys like Jake the Snake and helping Scott Hall and now what he's doing with Luger. So he's a good pick. I understand, again, what's the word I'm looking for, kind of corporately, why they're going with DDP over Luger or over Sting, but DDP is a good pick, and I'm sure it'll be a good moment.
Look at this monster super chat that Lonnie Barker, our dude, sent in. We're going to spend some time on this one. Thank you so much. He says, SRS and Jimmy, let's say Seth wins. Heyman goes with Seth. We get a much overdue character change next Monday. what do you think the new partnership of Seth and Heyman would look like? I love the idea that this is the 10th anniversary of the heist.
That's good idea.
Him heisting Paul Heyman as
good
well.
Idea. And making like it was all the plan, right? Yeah. Heyman helps him win.
And I mean, you can really lean into how much Seth Rollins hates Roman Reigns now. And he'll be like, I'm taking everything from you. There are so many parallels. If you really watch the show between Seth Rollins and Adam Hangman Page in AEW, they're very similar. They are so fixated on one person that you can really tell that they want to take everything from him. They want to take the shield from Roman Reigns. He wants to take the title from Roman Reigns. He wants to take Paul Heyman from Roman Reigns. He wants to take everything because this guy's been messing with him for a long time too. But Seth can't really see that he's responsible for it. He can't really come to grips with the fact that it's actually his fault all along. But like I've been saying, Jimmy, Roman Reigns has never been a babyface since this turn. He just ended up going away and then feuding with somebody less likable than him. He's still an abusive dick on this show. Like he pushes down Paul Heyman. Yeah. And I look at it also, and I'm like, sometimes heels got to be right, Jimmy. And Seth Rollins has been right about Paul Heyman. Roman abuses him. CM Punk doesn't care about him. Otherwise, Jimmy, why is CM Punk waiting until the show's about to go off the air, where he's booked, by the way, to run out and save Paul Heyman all the time? Why else is CM Punk at the damn show besides to roll in and pretend he's the hero? I'm here. Ah, where the hell were you before? Were you just going to fly back after he got his ass whooped? What's going on here? I think there's a lot of like underlying stuff here for Heyman and Rollins if they go that way.
You know what? Lonnie Barker's changed my opinion.
Okay.
So I thought about on Raw when Rollins teased the stomp on Heyman and didn't do it. Remember? He teased the stomp on Heyman and didn't do it. And they made like Heyman kind of slipped out of the way. I think Rollins is going to win and Heyman's going to go with Rollins now. That sounds like a good story to me. And that's my pick now. So Lonnie Barker, there you go.
Lonnie, I got to agree with you too. They need some freshening up there. They need some freshening up. By the way, guys, if like that topic, the Nick Khan AEW, and we are getting to it, I'm going to get through these other super chats at first. Following up from Monday, did you hear Breaker was okay after the show? All I have heard, he was holding his knee. All I have heard since then was that he is still expected for the show. They wouldn't update me. Does Cena get booed in Vegas like he did overseas? Yes. I think the audience respects John Cena enough, Jimmy, to where it will be along for the ride.
I agree. I mean, I'm sure when his music first kicks in, he'll get a bit of a pop, but then there's going to be the John Cena sucks. And I agree.
Sure.
They're going to have fun with it.
Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. New Lack City sent a humper chat saying, SRS, wondering where my boy Roosh has been. He's active on social media. Haven't heard if he's being used. Is it visa issues? I see his LFI teammates are wrestling. I don't have an answer on that one particularly, but I have asked. I just want you to know I have asked about it. I haven't been given a clear indication. He had some heat a while back related to a situation last fall where I think he beat up Richard Holiday while he's getting checked on by a medic, but I think that subsided. And he also says, anything on Private Party? As best I know, they're healthy. They worked in Indy recently, so I believe they are healthy. Speaking of health, Shotgun Sean says Pac was injured by a buckle bomb. Finn was injured by a buckle bomb style move years ago. Is it a dangerous move or as safe as any other move? Every movement is dangerous. Sting got injured as well.
Severely.
But I can tell you, I've taken a power bomb and I've taken a buckle bomb. I'd much rather take a buckle bomb than a power bomb. Like, you land upright. I think the percentage is probably higher for injuries just because the vast amount of power bombs in general, but almost any move can be dangerous. There's almost no move that has never injured somebody unless we're talking about some holds or something like that. But we're talking about three times in over a decade. That's not so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand the potential danger because you can't really see where you're getting tossed, I guess.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I mean, it's used a lot. Rollins uses it just about every match.
Yeah.
And so Balor and Sting are the only two I can think of over how many years Rollins been there? Over 10.
Yeah.
So odds aren't too bad.
D'Lo Diggs says, happy Mania week. I hope everyone is going as safe and bet responsibly. Shout out to Bet Online. Stand and Deliver will hump. Fightful Select reported their call time at 5 in the morning, Jimmy, which is better than the 3 a.m. some of them were expecting. We're getting to that. Trust me. Dave Cost says, very simple question. Will they ever do Rock Roman and Rock Cody? If they only do one, which do you want to see more?
Rock Roman.
Yeah, Rock Roman.
I think so. There's more of a history there, I think.
Yeah. It's tough because they have closed the gap quite a bit over the last year. But I would say I think they will. I think they will. And I think it'll be Rock Roman, Dave. That's how I'm feeling. But, you know, the Rocks talk about, it doesn't have to end in a match. I don't know about that. Cadillac Carson says, I hope the summer of Cena includes him destroying R-Truth. I feel like it's got to happen.
I agree.
Even if it's not him destroying R-Truth, him watching as R-Truth gets destroyed, I think is just like him not stopping it as R-Truth gets just the shit kicked out of him.
Some kind of interaction.
A long way.
Yeah, some kind of interaction. Yeah. I agree.
Ronan says, is Michael Hayes or Bruce Pritchard back after that Raw photo leaked? I don't know what you mean. What
There was an overhead shot from Raw. Pritchard was at ringside with McAfee. Have you
they've
seen
been
that?
Back for, they've been back for months, just yeah, so you all know.
I was going to say AJ and Cross were in the ring working out. It's from Raw this past Monday. And Pritchard was there.
Yeah, they've been back for months. Is there any heat on the Party Girls after comments and likes on X, the only true tag team in SmackDown, and they were buried? Not that I have heard. But this does kind of go into what we're going to talk about in about 30 seconds, Jimmy, about parking talent and the like.
What were the comments? I'm lost on that.
Oh, boy. So they're I don't know what the Party Girls.
Oh, Party Girls. Okay.
I don't know about them. Okay. Maybe something that Casey said on Ring the Bell or anything like that. I don't know. Maybe add some context for me here, but I haven't seen that and I haven't heard of any heat on them or anything like that as well. But let's talk about the topic, and it's baffling to me, Jimmy. Do you want to lead this one or?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I want to talk about Mariah too if we get some time before I got a jet. But let's talk about the Nick Khan thing. So he was on the Bill Simmons podcast. There's two points I want to talk about, but we'll talk about the first one that you're talking about. He was asked by Bill Simmons about acquiring too much talent, and so they're not able to utilize everybody properly. And this is a direct quote from Nick Khan. He said, that's something we won't do. We won't sign and bench people. We sign people who we want to use. If another entity signs and benches people now, that's not something we would do. And of course, by another entity, he meant AEW.
Yeah, he always means AEW when he says the competition or
right.
whatever.
The
or
entity.
The kid, all right. that stuff.
He means. What are your AEW thoughts? What are your thoughts on that quote?
Incredibly hypocritical and untrue. Just outright untrue. Him saying that WWE is always the underdog is untrue. Although he didn't mean specifically against AEW in that sense. It was in the grander scale of media.
Yeah.
This is, you know, in the past he said, oh, he's a nice kid and oh, his dad is financing. There've been a lot of very intentional, concentrated comments here. And I know people around Nick Khan often get the blame for this, but this is a Nick Khan play. It's just a thing that he does to sort of minimize the accomplishments or competition of somebody else. And that's what he's doing. However, this is incredibly hypocritical. I released a story today that I actually had done last week about Omos, who was brought back from his best in-ring run of his career in Noah. They loved him there. Hasn't been on TV since. He's not hurt. Natalya is working indies in the NWA because they urgently wanted to re-sign her to keep her from doing the Owen Hart tournament last year in AEW. And they haven't done anything with her for 6-7 months. Parked. The entire tag division parked. Now, occasionally you'll see them on Raw or SmackDown, and I'm sure I'll have some detractor claim that, oh, well, Casey and Caden were on Raw one time.
Okay, and Natty was just on SmackDown too, yeah.
Apollo Crews pre-injury, part. Hikuleo. I had to ask people if he's actually signed. I was like, where is this man? Where were AOP? Well, let me tell you where AOP were. I reported like in February after they had got signed. It was like 6 months in that they had got signed because they had been parked the whole time. And I had one of the many people that came back when Triple H first took over WWE say, yeah, they were at the Performance Center when I was there getting checked out as well. And they just parked for months and months and months. You've got Alexa, who just signed her deal, parked, chilling. One member of the Wyatt Six is sidelined. What happened to the other five? Parked. You brought Dijak up to do what? Park him, and then let him go. Baron Corbin, for months and months and months before he was let go, parked. It is completely untrue. And before I get some weirdo, like I already got on Twitter, say, well, why don't you say that about AEW? I do all the time. Watch a goddamn show. Scorpio Sky, they've wasted 3 years of that guy's life. They picked up Ricky Stark's option and then never used him. I think it's dumb everywhere. I think it's ridiculous everywhere. And you can't say that without some weirdo dork saying, why don't you criticize AEW? And I'm like, oh, wait, you mean like I do about them having too many titles, but no women's tag titles, not pivoting on the Death Raiders or Death Riders, not doing local promotion effectively, giving title shots off of losses, parking people themselves, releasing people that want out of their deals, but they don't have plans for them, aren't going to use them, their pay-per-views being too long, their pressers being too long, not doing big enough matches on TV, saturating the product, more than one women's match on TV, needing to go to smaller venues, which they finally did, Tony rendering so many interviews and pressers pointless by going into history telling and promotion mode instead of answering questions. Like, listen, you all want robots reporting some of this stuff. This is subjective entertainment. And when I report a news story, it is going to be completely objective. When I talk about that news story, I'm allowed to share my opinion. And I could not believe that Nick Khan would say something that was so easily fact-checked. I was baffled by it. But then again, maybe I shouldn't be at this point.
Do you think, and I'm not defending him, I'm trying to get into his head. Do you think that he, when he said benched, he's thinking Ricky Starks who wanted to get released, Rey Fénix who wanted to get released, as opposed to signing Natty and then not using her? Do you think in his mind he thinks of benched differently?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't think there's any way you could look at it any different.
I'm trying to put myself into his head a little bit. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Absolutely. No, no. And I think, again, to be clear, I think it's dumb when anybody does it. I really hated what AEW did to Ricky Starks. That man let them know 5 months before his option year was up that he wanted to leave. And not only did AEW pick it up, they didn't do anything with him afterwards, which is worse to me. It's worse than Fénix and Penta, who were contractually bound, they planned on using, and then they were off talking to WWE. Way different than that.
And you mentioned, I'm sorry, Sean, you mentioned about how he kind of throws shade at Tony Khan, sort of. And this is a quote that he said in the same interview with Bill Simmons. He said, nothing but respect to the father who finances it and owns the Jaguars and all those other things. So he, again, kind of threw shade at Tony. He didn't mention his dad by name. He just said to the father. Why do you think
now AEW is financing AEW? Like, that's
Now they are. Yeah.
And
do you think that he does that because he really wants to accentuate the supposed gap between WWE and AEW?
Yeah, but it doesn't. And I mean, listen, that's why it's surprising to me. And it's, I know it's been surprising to you too, because you've always said number one shouldn't acknowledge number two. Yeah. I mean, there are a whole lot of weirdos on the internet that think that no company should ever acknowledge the other company. I am more of MJF's belief. If you want that, wait for Vince McMahon to start up a new company, because he's the one that treated you like you were stupid. Mm. Nick's going to get asked about AEW and he can take shots at them and stuff, but it's the weird veiled not referencing them by name thing. It's like, we're not dumb. And that's what you're doing. You're treating people like they're stupid. And the same week that your NXT champion comes out and does an interview and says, well, they never called me. WWE never called me until I had a match with Mercedes Moné. Then they called me. And then when I told them how much AEW offered, they said, good luck in AEW. Huh? What? Come on now. And AEW, by all accounts, seems to be profitable. There are plenty of things that should be criticized across every promotion and all that stuff. It's just weird that this one is so dishonest. Now, his feelings on Tony Khan, or his feelings on Tony Khan, I am not here to police those, but like, it's the weird shot of like, oh, well, he's financing it. How many companies on this planet are financed by somebody who got their money from their family or their father? And, you know, I respect Nick for him, the way that he worked up, because I mean, we saw it in the WrestleMania 9 documentary. He was an usher there and all that. But Thomas says, Sean, I liked your comment negotiating a healthy inactivity clause in their contracts. Yeah, I've talked to sports agents about this too. If I were them, I would be negotiating clauses into your deals saying there is an out after a certain period of time if they are healthy scratches or unable to be used and they can exercise that. And then somebody said, oh, well, what they would do then is just put them on TV once, job them out, and the clock would reset. Listen, guys, these are sports agents and lawyers working on these deals. You think that they wouldn't think about that? This isn't like a uniform thing. Maybe if they had, oh, I don't know, a union or a players association, they would be uniform.
Good luck.
But that ain't ever going to happen, Jim.
Do they all use agents, Sean?
Not all of them, but more are, including your boy. But it's one of those things where for a long time, WWE, I mean, Bruce Pritchard would say it. They would claim, well, you're going to get whatever deal you're going to get no matter what. Bullshit, lie, not true. Use an agent. If you are a wrestler and you are negotiating a multi-year contract, by all means, use an agent. Use the agent. They will find you something in there. One agent was nicknamed the six-figure problem by a wrestling executive. And I was like, that's a hell of a nickname to have. Because they knew that once this agent took over the negotiations, they were about to have to pay six figures more every single year for the talent that came in. And as a result, I will say this. It is a talent who has been booked significantly better since they negotiated that new deal. Because a lot of these companies, I don't know, apparently Tony doesn't care because he's just benching Rusev. But they tend to book people a little bit better when they're paid a lot.
Like, I know the first agent that I used to hear the name with when it came to wrestling was Barry Bloom. He was like the first one. And the
still
first,
is.
Yeah, and the first wrestler that I'm aware of that had an agent, and I could be wrong, but I think the first wrestler was Lex Luger. Because Luger came from football.
He's one of them.
Yeah, and I remember hearing that he had an agent. So, interesting situation. Do you have anything else about Nick Khan you want to talk about?
Listen, there are things I admire about Nick Khan, and there are things I don't admire about Nick Khan, just like any other human being. I had so many weirdos that are like, why are you taking so many shots at WWE? I have had a fairly respectable relationship with Nick Khan. In fact, I would argue I have a more professional relationship with WWE since Nick Khan was in control than Vince McMahon, because Vince McMahon was just a decrepit old dumb fuck who, you know, was stuck in the past. Nick Khan sees the way that things go, but this man is a very smart man, and he knows how to shift and manipulate certain media elements to benefit him, because he has repped a whole lot of media. He's repped, you know, some of the biggest, best media there is. And we've got, let's get to super chats before we go too far, but
sure.
Is there anything you wanted to say about that?
I was going to ask if you saw Hunter do the interview with that comedian with the mustache. I forget his name.
Andrew Schultz. I didn't watch all 3 hours of it. No, but.
Okay, because that was the first time that I have seen Hunter talk about Vince McMahon, how Vince McMahon does things. It's the first time that I've heard him say anything at all critical about the way Vince McMahon does things.
Yeah.
He said straight up about how he was in the room when Shawn Michaels had an argument with Vince. He said that Shawn Michaels said to Vince, "You think the Honeymooners is funny?" And he said that Shawn Michaels said to Vince, "You are so out of touch. You don't know anything about what young people like today." And then he said Shawn tore up the script that Vince wanted him to recite, threw it at Vince and left the room. And Hunter looked at Vince and he said, "I'm with him." And then he left the room too. Mm-hmm. I've never heard Hunter say this stuff in an interview. He talked about how Vince was horrible with talent, with the way that he managed talent. And again, not to confuse people, he wasn't disrespectful to Vince. He still said, "I owe everything I have to Vince."
They say that he gets heat, Jimmy.
That Hunter gets heat? Vince gets heat? Oh, that I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Great quality for a world leader, right? To get heat.
Right. But it was the first time that I've ever heard him criticize the way Vince does things or allude to him being out of touch in any sense. And I found it very interesting.
There's less of a fear of retribution and affecting a career now, I think. But I mean, listen, I wouldn't romanticize Vince in any capacity. I know for Triple H, it's got to be like a big conflict for him. I know for a lot of people, they say, "Oh, well, it's easy. Just don't." And I'm like, God, that's a lot different. It's a lot different for a guy who is married to this guy's daughter. Yeah. I would just avoid talking about him in that capacity. I mean, the history, sure. I mean, it's a part of WWE's shift. Joker says WWE can't act like no company is on their level while exclusively punching down at one specific company. Makes them look like an insecure bully and gives AEW credibility as a competitor. I think it does as well. I think, and insecure was a phrase that I was using as well. It's unusual to me. And Jimmy, I've spoke about like the opposite for my career. Now I will fight for credit and attribution and linking and supporting original creators and all that stuff. When somebody takes our stuff or twists it or manipulates it, but AEW isn't doing that to WWE. They're literally just existing, and you're never going to be exempt from criticism or anything like that. But when I was coming up, I was far more insecure about my position than I am now, where I know I'm pretty well set in that regard. Like I know my routine. I know that I'm not going anywhere. WWE's got to know they're not going anywhere. It's not even about competition. It's about AEW daring to not be a far and away distant number two on Destination America and the Pursuit Channel at 11 at night, all that stuff.
I'm sorry. I do want to say, just so that nothing's taken out of context, Bill Simmons did ask him about AEW.
Yeah, for sure.
So Nick Khan didn't just volunteer this stuff. Like Bill Simmons asked him, but I agree with you. Nick Khan is more aware than to say, "No, we don't sign and park people." Because he stretched out his answer to then take a shot at AEW, that's where he shouldn't have done it. But at the same time, Bill Simmons did bring AEW up to him.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that they should talk about AEW and the competition and all that stuff.
And Bill Simmons, of anybody, Bill Simmons knows wrestling. So sure. If anybody's going to ask him, it's going to be somebody like that.
James says, regarding Nick Khan's shot, he came off as childish, totally unnecessary. It was the specifics of the shot and just that it wasn't true. Mm. Yeah. We got a bunch of super chats, humper chats. Let me know how long you can be around, Jim.
Yeah, another 10 minutes.
Any that we miss or anything like, I'm going to try to get to. I have a Stairmaster being delivered momentarily, Jimmy. So
the one you told me about?
Yeah. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says WWE should focus on this crappy Mania build. Shows that this company can't do anything but a monopoly from the WWE ID stuff to everything they do. So we have a story coming on Fightful Select about how WWE did intentionally try to put their hands in a little bit of everything this year. They looked at what worked and they said, "Well, we want in that and that and that and that." So that's interesting. Also, John Hope says best match of the week will be Takeshita Ospreay. That'll be a good one. We got the wild card tonight on AEW. We got Mercedes and Athena. Holy shit, that's going to be a crazy match. I'll be here for the post show. But another bit of news before we get to the Mariah May thing. Naito leaving New Japan. Now, he has been riddled with injuries. He is not the same guy anymore. Fightful Select reported that people in AEW say it would be a giant surprise if he was in AEW because they have had no interest in him. I wonder what's up with New Japan. They have Naito this year, Okada last year, Ospreay and Switchblade the year before. They're losing a lot of talent, Jimmy.
Do you think there's anything to The Rock wearing a New Japan shirt on social media?
No.
Why would
Jeff Cobb
do that?
Coming over? Jeff Cobb, kick up shit. That's
kick
why.
Up shit. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Was Mako considered this weekend? I haven't heard that. I haven't heard of that. Do we see any surprises in the front row like Julia last year? I think Cobb's facing Tanahashi this weekend or something like that, but
you don't think maybe Saraya, something like that?
Saraya would be a good one. I would like that. I would like that.
Love to see AJ Lee. I love that.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. Yeah. I totally understand how TK feels about Dynamite passing Nitro. Do you all think it's a big deal with how it isn't really apples to apples? Yeah, I do think it's a big deal. I think having one of the second, one of the longest cable TV primetime runs ever is a big deal. Now, I mean, obviously, TNA Impact had a pretty good run on cable TV primetime for a while, but I think it got interrupted. But especially on a network like Turner Sports, Jimmy, or a group of networks, I think that's a big deal.
So I have this on my list, actually. And the first thing I'll say is, you know, AEW deserves props for their longevity, because you got to remember when they started, there was already people writing their eulogy, right? From the very beginning, there were people
called
writing
a t-shirt company, Jimmy.
Right. And saying it's never going to work and whatever. And look, people can say, well, you know, they are owned by the son of a billionaire and he's a lifelong fan and he had the money to fund it for 5 years. You know what? Well, he did. And he did fund it for 5 years, and now AEW can be is sustainable. But I do got to say this. I hate it when I see people on social media compare AEW and WCW. I hate it because they're completely different situations, completely different. It's apples and oranges. You could even say it's apples and tuna fish, completely different. WCW in the late 90s, early 2000s, when they were around, wrestling did not command rights fees like they do now. Yep. WCW had to rely on traditional revenue streams, and they were
painfully underpaid to be on this.
Yeah, well, they were owned by the television distributor that aired them. And so there was no rights fees or anything like that. Plus, you have to remember, WCW was not acquired by AOL Time Warner. WCW was inherited by AOL Time Warner. And AOL Time Warner, by all accounts, hated wrestling, hated WCW. You know, one time somebody asked me who killed WCW, and I will admit now that I was wrong. I shouldn't have said it. I said Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff. That's not correct. Mm-hmm. It was Jamie Kellner, an executive at AOL Time Warner. He's the one that decided we're going to pull wrestling from the schedule. If WCW, if wrestling at that time was looked at differently, because it was looked at as lowbrow entertainment, it didn't command advertiser dollars like it does now. If it was looked at differently, WCW would still be around. And
there was so much money moved around in very unusual ways. And it's like, okay, that doesn't make sense. But I mean, listen, the terrible booking didn't help. If they would have been the most consistently and great booked show, I don't think they would have lost near the money they would have. But there was also some unusual things going on from a financial perspective.
And you're totally right about costs. Like, WCW's costs were out of control. They had a lot of heavy contracts and things like that. But Nitro was putting up cable numbers then, 25 years ago, that eclipse what WWE and AEW are doing now. But cable was so much bigger 25 years ago that Nitro suffered by comparison, because cable was just such a bigger entity. Now, even the numbers are less, wrestling is looked at differently now. It's looked at as DVR proof, and it's more sought after by advertisers. And so now you can command nine-figure a year rights fees that you couldn't then. And so it's just, it's not the same. And AEW today has two major advantages that WCW didn't have. The first one being rights fees, like we've already talked about. And the other one is AEW's owner is the son of a billionaire, a lifelong wrestling fan. He's okay going through for the first 5 years having to finance the company. AOL Time Warner would have never, ever financed 5 years of losses 25 years ago. They killed it when it started going downhill. It's a completely different situation. So whenever I see on social media, AEW, WCW, I hate it. It's not the same thing. Completely different situation. And that's my opinion.
And also, anybody comparing almost anything we've seen in AEW to WCW 2000 did not watch WCW in 2000.
Right. We have not seen a Viagra on a pole match yet in AEW.
No, hopefully it'd be a bluechew.com/Fightful on a pole match. Listen, you're going to have a lot of matches on your pole when you use bluechew.com/Fightful. Lord Peter, who surely got that name after getting bluechew.com code Fightful, says, I didn't care when Cody, Punk, and Jade left. I was annoyed when Andrade and Malakai left, but I understood. I will be pissed if and when Mariah leaves. Can Tony lock her up or is she gone, SRS? Yeah, boys at FightfulSelect.com reported she was in a contract year. I see a lot of like, I'm not trying to bury anybody else. I'm just like, guys, please just do a little bit better. I see people saying like, oh, well, it'll be up at this time and this time and this time. She was under AEW contract by August of 2023. It is very unlikely that she is signed to a 2-year and 3-month contract. Now, time can be added to it. There were a lot of elements of this story that have emerged elsewhere, Jimmy, that I intentionally didn't report when I got the news. And that's because I saw it for what it was. A pretty clear negotiation ploy from a very smart performer and team and all that stuff and people around them. Mariah May grew up a WWE fan. She was an online WWE fan.
Yeah.
And that will be the dream and the goal for many people. Can Tony lock her up? Anything's possible. Absolutely. They want to keep her. A lot of people look at this stuff in black and white and say they want their dream or moments, or they just want money, or they're so-and-so works here, so clearly they'll go there. I don't think it's that simple, Jimmy. These are multifaceted situations.
I agree. I don't know what her motivations are. If her motivation is to make the most money she can and have the most limited schedule she can, AEW can offer that. So I don't know what her motivations are. Now, granted, WWE does have this advantage, and they're going to continue having this advantage for another 20 years. A lot of today's wrestlers did grow up fans, and a lot of today's wrestlers, the goal is to work for WWE. And Kevin Owens is an example of that because he said so in interviews. If Mariah May's goal, because everybody's seen the pictures from her at WrestleMania and her posing in front of pictures with like a big Undertaker cutout and everything. Mm-hmm. If her goal is to, if her dream is to be in WWE, then she's going to be in WWE.
Yeah.
But there's something that she's got to remember. We wouldn't be talking about Mariah May, with all due respect to her, we wouldn't be talking to her about her if AEW had not presented her the way that they had. If they hadn't booked her the way that they had and started her out as Tony Khan's assistant, and then she turns heel and she goes on to run as champion. Yeah,
Tony Storm's assistant, you mean.
What did I say? I'm sorry, Tony Storm's assistant. Tony Storm, yeah. But the way that they booked Mariah May very well is the reason we're talking about Mariah May right now. And you got to, the grass is not always greener. And I'm not going to point to Jade Cargill as an example, because Jade got hurt and Jade was green, still needed some training, whatever. But the grass is not always greener. Mariah's been in a prominent position in AEW. And so it's going to come down to what her motivations are, Sean. If her motivation is, I want to make the most money, I want to have the best schedule, and I want to be presented well, she'll get that in AEW. But if her motivation is WWE is my dream, then that's where she's going to go. It comes down to what her motivation is.
Yeah. And I think she's very smart. If she lets her deal wind down, the closer it gets, the more negotiating power she has with AEW. And then if she lets it expire, she's going to find out what she's worth on the open market, which she should do. I personally think that more talent should do these 2-3 year deals as they're entering a company, as opposed to five year deals.
Right, right. I got a jet, Sean. So
that comes from a person who has an 8-year deal. Jimmy, I'll see you later.
Yeah,
I am here to answer the rest of these super chats and upper chats, guys. Cool Fool says, does WWE have any thoughts on Mania competing with the NBA playoffs? I will miss night 2 because I'll be at the Warriors Rockets game. From what I understood, Las Vegas wanted them to be on Easter weekend because they don't do great tourism on Easter weekend. So that was a big factor for them. Me Norma says, grocery store effed up and labeled nine pounds of brisket for $286. I made it taste like $1 million. Let's crank. WWE has 2 blonde top stars. Will Tiffany get lost in redundant booking? Could she go to New Japan? Tiffany ain't going to New Japan. Do you mean Mariah? I mean, Mariah, they're not going to sign anybody for a big time deal. New Japan is not offering people the level of money that they should be, in my opinion, based on what I have been hearing. I think Tiffany is going to be a star for a very long time. Man, I am just shocked by this 9 pounds of brisket for $286. I am jealous of this, man. Thoughts on Triple H saying that Bray had the same heart condition he had on a podcast recently. Oh, man, I didn't see that, but I'm just. I wish that Bray was still with us, and I'm glad that Triple H is still with us as well. I mean, he's got daughters, he's got a family, and that would be tragic. And listen, man, as somebody who's had some heart scares in the not so distant past myself, man, it's something that lives in your brain constantly. Joker says, in what world was it a good idea to have Jade return as a face? She had an amazing heel moment at Elimination Chamber. They could have rode the wave. I don't know what you mean by that. Like, I think that her going away and coming back was naturally going to be a heel element or a babyface element. And a Naomi turning heel is naturally something that people were waiting for, the who attacked who type of thing. And really disliking the person that did it. Even if Jade wasn't like mega over as a babyface, Naomi has killed it as a heel. I think they did the right thing. So, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We got a few more. N. Simmons says, hot take, I think Bianca is going to win. She's the only one who hasn't stood tall. If the plan is Rhea Bianca next year, the streak has to be intact to at least to me when it comes to drama. I don't know if it's the plan next year. And I think if it is the plan next year, I think they've sort of minimized it a little bit by doing this, right? Like, I don't want to say diluted, because Io Sky being added to anything doesn't really dilute anything. She's incredible. She's a fantastic performer. I think one of the most consistent in-ring wrestlers that WWE has. I think it's probably launching imminently. I mean, unless they end up on different brands and it's separated. And then I would love the year-long, like, they are at the same pay-per-view, they get into fights type of thing. And they separate them by brand for that. Like, they are motivated to win the tag team titles just so they can be around each other. I could write you a full year storyline of these two trying to get at each other and building the next year's WrestleMania. No problem if they are on different brands. No problem. Cross contract update. Still without a contract. It expires this summer, I believe. If you had to compare AEW's current status in 2025 to any other specific wrestling company, what would it be? WCW 98, WWE 08, etc. Ooh. Financially, it couldn't be WWE through the mid-90s because they were not doing so hot. It's tough. I don't know that you can compare it. That would be really, really tough. Maybe WWF in like 85, 86, maybe? I don't know. Irks me that Tiffany is getting a Mania moment before Liv. What I will always tell people, whether it be this or something else, all people in the media that'll be like, oh, I can't believe this person got that interview. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. Don't do that. Feel good for them and then work hard to get there as well. She will. She'll do that. She's incredible. She'll get that moment. Liv's behavior has never struck me as somebody who is jealous or anything like that. She just keeps working, and eventually it's impossible to ignore. KE775 says, I wondered if they wanted to hold off Becky for a big moment, but having her off TV 5 months while paying her is weird. Paying her a lot, surely. I mean, she makes millions of dollars a year. Gotta. At this stage, it's very weird. Mr. Straightfire says, adding Paul Heyman to be a part of the heist. I can see night one ending with Heyman Seth at the top of the ramp, the fireworks. If you think back, Heyman is the prize of this four-way. That's what I keep saying, Mr. Straightfire. You've had some incredible super chats today. Thank you very much. A lot of people talking about stakes. I think that largely Paul Heyman is the stakes. And I think that's where we're going to get one of those finger-wagging Rock or Triple H pressers. Everybody said this didn't have stakes, but here we go. Paul Heyman was on the line. I can't do it quite like Eboo can, our good friend Eboo, but I think he's the prize. Thoughts on the AEW CMLL Arena Mexico show. I love that it is for a Dynamite. I like that. It's going to draw a great crowd. They're going to make a lot of new fans in Mexico as a result. And I think it's a brilliant idea. I think it's something that they should have done a while back. And I think that it helps set the tone for Forbidden Door as well. Do you see Asuka and Kairi getting involved in the match? Kairi, possibly. Asuka, no. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. I am right back here tonight. Oh, wait, I've still got this one. Any guesses for the Arena Mexico main event? I would love to hear some feedback in the chat on this one. Because that's a tougher one for me. I don't follow Lucha Libre to the level that I used to. But it is hard to... Místico, almost certainly. They've got Místico and Omega up at the top, right? Místico Ospreay, Místico or Omega. That's how I feel. The AEW's done a brilliant job marketing their local events with Lucha Libre lately as well. MLW also. Commander mask versus mask match. I want to see a mask match at All In as well. I think that will move some tickets. If they don't do that, I think it will be promotional malpractice to not do a mask match at All In. Bring some talent in for that. Guys, thank you all so much. I especially want to thank Lonnie Barker, who sent an incredible super chat, as well as some others. We are back here tonight to talk one of the biggest Dynamites in recent memory, the Wild Card, Athena, Mercedes, all kinds of good stuff. Until next time, we're out.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.